Let's pray. Let's go to prayer this morning before we look at the message this morning. Father, thank you that we can gather together today. I see the beauty of your creation as I look outside. As I drove here this morning, I took it in. I love seeing the fingerprint, your fingerprint. Lord, thank you that you not only reveal yourself to us through creation, but you have also given us your word. And Lord, as a pastor, I want to be faithful to your word, faithful to teach your word. And I'm thankful that it's not my job to convict. I am the presenter. So, Father, my request is as I do my very best to be faithful to your word, I pray that your spirit is the one who would do the work right now in our hearts. You know where we are living, what we are living through, what we've gone through. You know the way that you need to minister to each and every one, and you are able to do that today. So we come to you with that expectation. I pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this morning, I brought with me a pot of flowers. A bar stool, I'm going to put them on here. Can you see this pot of flowers? These are mums, right? Can you tell from where you're at that these are looking pretty ugly? Can you tell that? I mean, these were at one time, and not too long ago, beautiful. So my kids got these for my wife a month and a half ago. There was a Costco special, you know, $12.99 or something like that. My wife saw them, and she said, ooh, they are beautiful. So me being, I'm catching on, it takes some time, but I was like, file that away. She said, those are beautiful. Okay, and so then I went to the kids and asked them, are you guys interested? Do you have anything picked out for mom yet? Well, here's an idea. So this is what they got. These were gorgeous. Actually, here's a picture of what they kind of at least looked like. Okay, now this isn't the exact mums, but I just went on the Costco website really quick and was like, okay, show me. What did they look like at one time? It was that color there. They're not that color anymore, are they? They've definitely changed. So we've had, a couple weeks ago, we had some frost, and I thought, are they done? And I went to go deadhead them, and I thought, is it possible that I could revive them? I don't really know plants that well, but I was deadheading them a bit, hoping that maybe it would warm up a bit. That did not happen. And so the last couple weeks, it's just been cold. And this is what we get. I'm reminded of a passage of Scripture. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Isaiah chapter 40, and we looked specifically at verses 25 to 31, and you might recall them as the verses where it tells us that we find strength when our hope is in the Lord. But Isaiah the prophet, before he said that, he said something, and I'm going to just paraphrase here. He said, people are like grass. Try putting that on your Hallmark card. People are like grass. But then Isaiah goes on and he says that all people's glory is like the flowers of the field. Our glory is like the flowers of the field. A month and a half ago, it looked pretty good. Today, it's not looking so good. And it didn't take too long for it not to look good. Isaiah goes on and he says, the grass will wither and the flowers will fall. That's going to happen. You can't stop it. But he says this, and the point of what Isaiah says, the word of our God stands forever. This is going to change. This is going to change. God doesn't change. God remains faithful. God remains consistent. And what God has revealed to us in Scripture remains the same. This last week I was thinking about it. I have great-grandparents, as we all do. I knew my great-grandma. Now, I don't have memories of her necessarily. I have pictures of me with her because she passed away when I was about 3 years old. On one side, for my great-grandparents, they never placed their faith in Christ that I'm aware of. On the other side, they knew Christ. They had a relationship with the Lord. That's my heritage. But I was thinking about, regardless of whether one side had a relationship with the Lord or the other did not, all of them were confronted with this, with God's words. They were confronted with Scripture. They had heard it. And what they were confronted with is the same thing that I am confronted with in 2019. This is what I am confronted with. This has not changed. There's translations, yes. But this hasn't changed. God's word, what he's revealed to us, hasn't changed. I think about some of the great believers of the past, people like C.S. Lewis, Abraham Lincoln, William Wilberforce, Martin Luther. They found comfort in this book. And I can read the same thing that they read, and I too can find the same comfort. It's the same God. With that in mind, I want you to turn to Psalm this morning. The book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 46. I want to look at three short verses this morning with you. Psalms chapter 46, and I'd like to look at verses 1 through 3 this morning and make this our focus. Listen to what these words say here. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. In light of this happening, we come to the Lord who is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. Who's the writer of Psalm 46? I hear a little mumbling. When we think of Psalms, don't we automatically think David, the psalmist? If you have a church background, then you probably have enough knowledge that you're thinking, oh, David wrote the Psalms. Well, it's fair to say that we would assume that David wrote this psalm. David wrote almost half of the Psalms. Not quite half. He wrote 73 of 150 Psalms, which means that there are a lot of other poets who contributed to this book. David did not write Psalm 46. He's not the human author. The human author, did you see? I'm not sure if your Bible says this as mine does, but before it actually identifies the human author, it's the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah actually wrote 11 of the Psalms that we have. Who are these guys? The sons of Korah. Who is that? I want to take you on a quick road trip. Okay, so David lived about 1,000 years before Christ. Okay, so we're beep, beep, backing up. About 3,000 years from where we are right now to get to David, who wrote about half of the Psalms, but then we're going to back up even another 550 years to the time of Moses. You know Moses, don't you? The little baby in the basket? We heard about that if we went to Sunday school or VBS. We probably heard about that. Moses grew up to be a great leader. And we are told that Moses stood before Pharaoh, and his words were, "Let my people," who's my people? Israel, "let them go so that they might worship our God." And Moses was stubborn. No, it's not going to happen. And plagues came. And eventually Pharaoh would say, "Okay, fine, you win. You can take them." And then Pharaoh would change his mind. "Just kidding, JK. Just kidding. They're not going to go." And another plague would come. Well, eventually after the death of the firstborn in all of Egypt, excluding the Israelites who marked their doors with the blood of the lamb, Pharaoh, very broken because his own son's life was taken, "Take them and go." They went in the desert and they wandered there for how long? 40 years. It's a long time to go wandering in the desert. We are told, though, in Numbers chapter 16 that as the leaders, Moses and Aaron, though they were the leaders, their leadership was in question by a group of 250 men who opposed them, and opposed them not just for a day, but day after day, continually opposed them and challenged their leadership. And it got to the point where Moses finally said to the people, "Okay, may it be known whether I am of God or not. If these men here who are opposing me die of a natural death, I am a fraud. Don't listen to me." You know what he's saying? The vice versa. If these guys die of a supernatural death, then I have been appointed by God and you need to listen. That's what Moses was saying. Numbers 16 tells us that as soon as Moses finished saying these words, guess what happened? The earth opened up. And these 250 men and their possessions were taken down. I think if I was watching that, there would have been tremendous fear. What's going on here? What just happened? Who is this God who just swallowed up these men, their possessions, their families? What just happened here? One of the leaders of the 250 was Korah. Fast forward 550 years approximately. These are some of the ancestors of Korah. I want you to hear two things this morning in this. And this is somewhat of a rabbit trail, but I think it's important to say this. God's redemptive work is not beyond anyone. The sons of Korah could have said, "That's my family heritage. That's who I came from. Man, they were rebellious. I amount to nothing. The sons of Korah were extremely musical. They had musical ability. When the Ark of the Covenant was brought into Jerusalem, guess who played? The sons of Korah. God used the sons of Korah. Yeah, they had some ugliness in their family heritage. God used them. God's redemptive work is not beyond anyone. Know that. But I also want you to hear this. On the flip side of this, it should be also known that people in leadership are not above and beyond falling. Korah was one of the leaders. He should have known better. And I think the enemy planted a seed in his mind, and he desired power along with 249 other leaders, wanting power and challenging the man that God had put there. Leadership, leaders are not above and beyond falling. Hear that second piece as well. Well, this is who writes this passage, the sons of Korah. And now you know their ancestry. And this is a song that they sung. And I don't know how they sung it, and I'm not going to attempt to sing it this morning. But this was a song, and verses 1 through 3 is only a portion of what I'm sharing today. God is our refuge. God is our strength. Is God your refuge? Is God your strength? When I was a kid, we used to enjoy a game called Sardines. Anyone know Sardines at all or not? So to me, Sardines was one of the best games to play. We would play this in the church, okay? It was always so much fun. It was always supervised. It was the best. If you want to have a good time, you play Sardines, okay? So we would play this, and if you're going to play Sardines, make sure you've got some good supervision. But it is a fun game to play. It's a hide-and-go-seek game. So you have two people who start out hiding, and the other rest of the group waits. And while those two people are hiding, they find a good spot in the church to hide. And then eventually the rest are unleashed, and they go looking for them. They go seeking them. When you find them, if you've played this game before, you know that you hide with them. So if you are wandering the church halls and it's just you, you lose. You probably just lost. You're the last person to find them. If it's getting really quiet, everyone has found them. You hide with them. God is not someone to hide from. God is someone to hide in. Don't go running from God. Hide in Him. He's our refuge. He's our strength. And the sons of Korah tell us that He is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Scripture does a good job, because I think that Scripture paints this accurately. It does not hide trouble from us. We're going to have it. Trouble comes our way. Scripture is up front with us. We're going to get it. But in the time of trouble, when you are confronted with trouble, who are you going to? Who is your refuge? And who is your strength? The sons of Korah are telling us, you make God your refuge. When you find that you have trouble, you go to God and find that He is an ever-present help when you encounter trouble. Did you encounter trouble this last week? Chances are extremely high that we could all probably throw our hands up and say, yes, I encountered trouble this week. It's on varying degrees. But We all encounter trouble. Is God your refuge? Is he your strength? Is he your ever-present help in trouble? I love it when he says, when the sons of Korah say, ever-present, God is right there. He's ready. Ever-present. And then the sons of Korah went on and they sung verses 2 and 3. And they say this, because of this, because God is my ever-present help in trouble, because of this, in light of this, therefore, I'm not going to fear. We will not fear, even though the earth gives away. Don't you think that the sons of Korah had to be thinking about their ancestors in saying this? And we know the story. We know what happened. We know what happened to our ancestors. We know what happened to our forefathers when they confronted day after day Moses and Aaron. We know that they were swallowed up. The earth actually physically gave away. Are you one that likes the ground? Do you feel better when your feet are on the ground? If you don't like heights, you probably don't like flying. If you fly and you look down, you look at the ground, isn't there just kind of this sense of safety when you finally get your feet on the ground? I can breathe again. I'm on the ground. Now, I don't mind flying at all. I actually love flying. But some people do not like to fly. There is a sense of when my feet are on the ground, then I'm safe. But even in that, you watch the news, sometimes you see like a sinkhole. There went a car. You know, and you just realize that the things that we assume are going to be safe aren't necessarily even safe. Are there things that you look to for, that's my security, that's what makes me safe? Sons of Korah are reminding us that God is our ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we're not going to fear, even though the earth gives away. There will be times where it feels as though the earth has given away. And by the way, they are speaking in hyperbole, meaning this is exaggerated, but it is to make a point. Though the earth gives away, and the earth does give away sometimes, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. You hear the hyperbole there, don't you? Even though the mountains would fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging, even in the midst of that, I will look to God to be my source of strength. I want to ask you this morning, are you in a position this morning that you need to cry out to God, God, be my source of strength? Are you there? Are you walking there? Have you been there? When you look over this last week, would you say, last week I was confronted with some things that I would rather avoid? I would rather not face. I wish they were not part of my life. I wish this did not happen. If that's you, then God reminds you this morning by His Spirit, look to me. Not me. Look to God. God would say, I want to be your refuge. I want to be your strength. God wants to be that for you. Deism is the belief that there is a supreme being who created everything, but he does not care for me. You heard of deism before? Yeah, there might be a God. There's some kind of supernatural power out there. How else did we come into existence? There had to be a God who started this. But basically, God took a vacation. And God doesn't care about me. God doesn't care about you. That's deism. To a deist, to hear that God is our ever-present help in trouble, that doesn't compute with the deist mind. They would say, uh-uh. There might be a God, but he does not care about me, and he is not with me in my pain. He is not with me in my trouble. He's absent. That's deism. And pantheism sees God as the universe meshed together. So, yes, there's a God, but God is basically just present through the universe. So if I encounter a mountain that I think is beautiful, that is God. If I see a tree, I say that tree is God. If I see a flower, that flower is God. God is in the universe. That's pantheism. And so to a pantheist, if a pantheist reads these words, and the pantheist says, well, then God is also the one that is giving away, because the earth gives away. And God is the one who roars and foams, because God is the water. That's how a pantheist would see this, if a pantheist would even recognize these words from God. Or an atheist is the person, as you well know, who says, no, 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 no. There is no God whatsoever. There is no God, capital G. There is no God, lowercase g. There are no gods, plural. There is nothing. It is the present, and that's it. And so to hear that God is our refuge and our strength, I say, I don't buy it, because I don't even think there is a God to begin with who is capable of hiding in. There is no God to find refuge in. The theist is a person. Theism is a belief that there is a God. And I want to be clear that theism is not necessarily always the Christian God as we think of him. But there is a belief in theism that there is a God who supernaturally created the universe and everything that we see. And this God is also the one who sustains the universe, meaning keeps it going. And theism also believes that God wants a relationship with his creation. So God doesn't just create, but God longs for relationship. That is theism. I believe that God clearly communicates to us from his word that he sees our trouble. He sees our pain. He sees our confusion. He sees our hardship, our difficulty. He knows that we are frail. He gets it. But our hardship, our frailty is what hopefully drives us to our knees and drives us to our Heavenly Father, one who cares immensely for each and every one of us, knowing us. God longs to be a refuge today. God longs to be the one that you hide in, not from. Has there been any part of you? I recognize that I'm talking to collectively, this is the church. So I'm in good company. You know, like we have a basic understanding probably. Many of us, if not all of us, have probably claimed faith in Jesus. Yet is it possible that part of us runs from God? If you find that you are going through something that is extremely discouraging, run to God. And find that in that discouragement, in that trouble, God wants to be your strength. He wants to be the source of your strength. He is present. He is with you. May you know that today. May you sense that today. I'm going to close in prayer here in a moment. But what I would like to do is just simply give you an opportunity in the quietness of this moment as the worship team comes up in a moment. Would you just talk to the Lord? If God has been speaking to you this morning, perhaps you're going through something and maybe you have lifted it to the Lord a number of times, but would you just, here is my desire. I cannot force this on you, but my desire is that you would come to the Lord and say, God, here is me and my brokenness. Here is me and my concern. Here is me and my confusion. But God, in that, I come to you. I come to you right now. In my time of trouble, God, I hide myself in you. I will not run from you. I come to you and find myself in you. I place you. And actually, I want to share, I just remember this, and I think it would be appropriate to share this. These are words I want to leave you with. And as you pray, you might consider this. Isaiah 41, verse 10 says this: do not fear, for I am with you. I am with you, do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's what God does. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. God said that to Joshua. The same God is with us, and I believe that he says that to us today. Philippians 4, 13. I can do everything through him, the Lord. He's the one who gives me strength. Psalm 32, 7 and 8. God, you are my hiding place. God, you will protect me from trouble, and you will surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. God is the one who will counsel you, and God is the one who will watch over you. Psalm 18, verse 32, it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. And this last one, Psalm 73, verse 26, my heart and flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That's the Lord. That's the Lord. That is who the Lord is for his children. Take a moment and respond to the Lord and his strength. Whatever you might be in, whatever you're walking through, respond. Whatever you find that you need, respond to the Lord right now. Church family here. There are stories I know about here of pain, of hardship. There's frustration. And I only know some of the stories. But God, you see all. You are aware of all. And God, you are here. You are with us. So Lord, we look to you. Father, may you be our true source of strength. Father, may we run to you when we are in trouble. May we hide ourselves in you. Thank you that you are with us. Father, minister by your Spirit, minister to the various needs that we have here in this church family right now. I am unable to minister in the way that these people need to be ministered to. But God, you are able and you will. And so I ask that you would do that right now in this moment, today, in a special way. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.